So really, I guess just to start off, it probably deserves a little recap for the community about the 708 board and what exactly you guys do. Can you describe a little bit about what the 708 board does and how you decide which organizations get funding? Luke, you can go, or Steve, why don't you start off? You're the chairman, right?
Okay. Well, the 708 board was formed after an election in April of 2017, and it's formed by statute, and its purpose is to help provide local support for persons with mental health problems, substance abuse problems, and developmental disabilities. It's funded by a local property tax levy.
Are there, Luke, are there any changes that the board has made to the grant process since you started? I think this is the third year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's the third year, and it's been a learning process, of course, and we've started to make some changes as we've gone along. But the process remains basically the same. We have a form application for persons to fill out, agencies to fill out. They fill out the application. We then interview all of the applicants about what the purpose of the grant is, and we then make a grant award. Please go ahead and add a little bit there if you'd like.
Anything you'd like to add, Luke?
No, not really. I think the chair, really identified the process fairly well. Certainly, we have gone through some growth, and, you know, as we've gone through the process, it's evolved a little bit to make it more effective and efficient, both for us as a board and for the applying agencies.
Now, I see that you've got about 45% going to programs and services for the developmentally disabled, about 45% for agencies treating mental health issues, and then about 10% for substance abuse issues. Is that, I guess, like a fair way to think about how the board views the relative importance of each of these particular mental health issues to the community?
No, it's really not fair to think that that's how we view the importance. Really, what has happened is that we just haven't got applications for assistance from substance abuse providers.
Mm.
Luke, do you want to speak to that for a moment?
Sure, Steve. Steve, again, said it exactly correctly. Our process is to evaluate each of the applications that come in based upon their relevance and the community need. Of the several years we've been doing it, we've just had a very small number of those applications that have applied for the use of addressing substance use disorder in Knox County. So our allocations have then, of course, been consistent with those applications.
Yeah, well, is there anything that, I suppose you guys do at least some moderate outreach to agencies to let them know you're available, but beyond that, is there anything you do to reach out to agencies like substance abuse agencies if they're not applying, or is it kind of just, hey, we're here, you know, come and talk to us if you want to get funding? How do you see that?
Luke, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the second sort of way you said it is really what our process has been. You know, the idea is that the agencies who operate in the community, who provide services for mental health, substance use disorder, or developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, you know, we kind of rely on them to let us know what their needs are. So if they have a need for a particular type of service, whether that be for mental health or developmental disabilities, whether that's an operational question or a capital request, you know, to replace some components of their buildings, et cetera, they really are the experts in those services that are provided, and they really ought to have a real strong sense of what their particular needs are as well. So we generally just rely on their input and ask for what it is that they need in a most important way in the community.
Sure. I'm also kind of wondering, do a lot of the agencies typically, now that you've been through a few years, do they typically make requests that are the same every year for the same amount to fund similar programs, or does it really vary and they're asking for specific different projects every year?
I think what I'm seeing is that similar projects and programs each year is coming from the agencies. And then we have some of the agencies who are reaching out and trying to do new things. So, for example, this year, Bridgeway asked for $64,000 for salary for a peer recovery support specialist, which is something that we had not seen before and which we did fund. KCCDD is developing a program which we funded, I believe, last year in a smaller amount, and it's called SOAR, Social Opportunities and Respite, which is to provide respites initiative for caregivers of disabled individuals. And they've asked for a considerable more money for that this year. So, yes, I think that it tends to start to be a, this is what we did last year, we'd like similar money for it this year, but there has been, and I think there will be, new programs initiated, and I think that older programs may start to get a little less funding as the newer programs come forward. Luke, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree, Steve. I think that, you know, what we've seen in these first few years is that some of the agencies are establishing programming that will need ongoing funding to continue the work that they're doing. And it's also a bit of a fact-finding mission. The extent to which these programs are effective or are actually meeting the need can be determined over that course of those years. So the agencies are adapting to what the community needs and using the opportunity to fund their programming through 708 as a chance to be a little bit innovative and maybe expand on the core services that they are able to provide with their dwindling state funding. So these locally supported services are really great. You know, it's an opportunity for those agencies to then say, okay, here's what our needs really are. And then we can evaluate whether that programming is effective and then adjust or adapt as we move forward.
And this next question, I think a lot of people in the community would have their own opinions, and maybe rightfully so, but I think you guys are in a unique position to answer this. What do you see as some of the biggest unmet needs in Knox County as far as mental health needs go?
Luke is our expert in mental health issues. Luke?
Sure. Knox County is much like many other semi-rural counties in Illinois and across the country. Our mental health needs are significant. What we've experienced over the last couple of decades has been a dwindling of available resources based upon funding cuts. Unfortunately, social services and mental health is one of those that tend to be the first that get the axe when government is trying to improve the bottom line, so to speak. So what we've seen is over the course of years that's kind of been willowed away, and you know that we've seen some erosion of available services. So first and foremost, the most important thing we can focus on with mental health is access. How can we improve access to an array of mental health services that then can in turn provide a community with the support and treatment that it needs? So to Steve's earlier point, we have funded Bridgeway to be able to provide psychiatry services to a greater degree than they've been able to in the past. We also have a significant workforce shortage related to mental health, and that starts with all different kinds of mental health providers, including psychiatrists, therapists, and other mental health providers. So to answer your question directly, the biggest problem we have in mental health, or the biggest gap, is actually the ability to obtain those services. So access, access, access.
So even if you're saying if funding was available, there still would be a lack of services available, possibly. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, you are. You know, mental health is one of those areas that is difficult to recruit and retain qualified professionals for a wide variety of reasons, one of which for us in Knox County is geography. You know, we have the smaller population base to call from, so we're not going to have as many available professionals as some other regional cities with a little bit greater bandwidth. The other thing is that, you know, this type of work is not work that folks typically go into for a huge financial gain. You know, so we have to have people who are passionate about the work and interested in supporting the community and making a real difference with regard to mental health. So given those sort of criteria, it's a little bit more difficult to fill the vacancies and to keep those vacancies full, which, you know, when we can't fill those positions or keep them full, we can have this sort of revolving door of folks in those roles, which makes it a little challenging to have continuity of services within the community.
In regards to mental health, we've also funded for the last 2 years school-based therapy to Community Unit School District 205 at the junior high level, and we've funded a separate initiative by the school district to try to have a comprehensive plan for mental health to meet mental health needs of students from grade school through high school. And that program or study of how to put that together is presently being conducted by School District 205. And I think that's something that, again, it's a mental health issue. So go ahead, Cameron.
Oh, sure.
I just finished.
Well, I guess just before we have to wrap up, voters a few years ago overwhelmingly approved the creation of the 708 board, I think with the idea that they were willing to pay a little more in taxes as long as there was, you know, an efficient way that mental health services could be enhanced or people could that needed help could get it in Knox County. I'm just kind of wondering from I believe both of you have been on the 708 board from its creation. Or can you assure taxpayers that their money is being spent wisely and that mental health services have been enhanced in Knox County in the last few years?
Well, it's important to me that we spend money wisely. And Luke is working on, right at this time, trying to develop a better metric to judge whether or not the statistics we receive back from the agencies that we fund are showing progress and that it's what the program they're doing is doing a good job. And I think that's something that we have to work on every year. Is this program being effective? We received some statistics from the Knox County YMCA, which showed a tremendous reduction and students being reported to the office and based in part on their attendance at the after-school program of the YMCA. It's those kinds of statistics that we have to look at to determine in each case whether or not the program is meeting the needs. Mm-hmm. I think we do believe that we are doing a good job in the sense that these services are now available, some of which would not be available if we were not funding the program. I think KCCDD, without our assistance, may not be able to continue to provide services to the developmentally disabled. Mm-hmm. Luke, would you please speak to these issues?
Yeah, sure. I'd just like to echo what Steve said. The idea that everyone on the board genuinely has an appreciation for the responsibility as a fiduciary for the taxpayers' dollars. You know, we all focus on making sure that the money that they have agreed to spend for these needs is something that's going to be used wisely and it's going to be used efficiently and effectively. And I think, you know, moving forward, having some more concrete ways of measuring that impact is going to be really important. I think, you know, one of the things we revealed when we did, when that assessment was completed prior to the formation of the 708 board was that a community survey was done. And what we've recognized from that was that folks in the community wanted to keep the availability of services that we have. So, for example, what Steve mentioned at KCCDD, that if they receive reimbursement lower than what their costs are to operate the place, then we need to be able to offset that loss a little bit to make sure they stay open. Mm-hmm. And then also to be able to expand the availability of other types of services. So increasing that access to mental health resources, for example, and increasing that access to substance use disorder treatment are goals that we feel are feasible and can be done effectively and efficiently.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you both for your time today, and thank you just for your general service and serving on the 708 board and all the other things you do for the community. So thank you so much.